Welcome to Crossroads, the infrastructure podcast. This is your host, Andrew Vitelli, senior editor of Energy in the Americas for InfraLogic. Thank you for tuning in. Our guest today is at the forefront of the energy and renewable energy insurance industry. He is Jeffrey Lev, head of U.S. accounts for KWH Analytics. Jeff, thank you for joining the program today.
Hi, Andrew. Thanks a lot for having me. Excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you on, and I'm sure our listeners are excited. For listeners who aren't as familiar, can you tell me a little bit about what KWH Analytics does, where you're focused in the industry?
Sure. Yeah. Thanks, Andrew. KWH Analytics, a lot of folks might know us from our first product. We've been around for about 10 years. Our first product in the industry was the solar revenue put, which is probably the area where we're most known, as well as some of the insights that we put out within the industry. But at our core, we're a data company. So we started by writing software and organizing data in the renewables industry, mostly solar data. We amassed a data set of over 300,000 solar assets. And then we evolved through analysis of that data into an insurance underwriter today. So today we are using that data to underwrite risk more accurately than those who don't have the data, or than even than ourselves before we had amassed the level we do today. We are very focused on data and the crossroads of data and insurance, pun intended.
And when did you make that shift from just focusing on the data to entering the insurance market? I'm curious how that took place.
Yeah, good question. We're a little over a decade old. We spent the first about 3 years of our existence really building a software platform that organized that data. So it was called Heliostats. It's still in existence today, mostly used by portfolio managers in the space. And then about 7 years ago, we developed the solar revenue put. And that's where a lot of the impetus of even the stuff that we're doing today and what we're going to talk about later in this podcast with the on the wind side. But the idea behind our work was that we were really marrying or putting together risk transfer with the project finance sector. What we did and what our first product did 7 years ago was it took performance risk and it analyzed that in such a way that we were able to transfer that risk to an insurance counterparty, get them comfortable with taking it, and basically take it off the hands of lenders who had been holding it historically.
It's interesting. I think a lot of people who are not in the industry aren't aware of what a big role risk transfer and insurance plays for the renewable sector. Longtime listeners of Crossroads are aware because we've had several guests on to talk about this, but it's really just an important part of the industry that a lot of people don't think about. Now, Jeff, what is your background? How long have you been with KWH Analytics and where were you before joining the firm?
Sure. Yeah. So I've been with KWH for about 2 years now, and I've basically taken on a role related to sales and distribution of our products. So head of US accounts is a sales and distribution role where we are working to innovate and tailor products, insurance products for use in the renewable space. Prior to this, so I spent the first decade of my career doing banking. Most of that was project finance banking, mostly wind, solar, some other renewables. I will admit I've done some oil and gas assets and some thermal assets as well. Actually, my first project was a coal plant. But generally speaking, a renewables person, I then spent about 7 years doing the development side of renewables. So I worked at Engie for about 5.5 years and then some other development shops. My experience is both finance related and business development.
Well, it seems like that must give you a very wide view of the industry, which must be helpful when you're working on these deals.
Yeah. So the way we think of insurance, I mean, we think of insurance as risk capital, right? I mean, historically, insurance wasn't much more than a project expense. And when I started working and for really the first half of my career, insurance was really a project expense. We think it serves really three key purposes. So, you know, you can use insurance effectively to boost access to financing, to enhance the financing. You can use it to support innovation, which is one of the ways that we're doing today. And you can de-risk regulatory uncertainty, which we're seeing, you know, post IRA. And you were also seeing for a number of years with, you know, an example is tax insurance. We think the insurance markets have a lot to offer to the project space. And we think that sort of organizing the data around these risks will help better transfer or reduce cost of that risk transfer.
Well, it's very interesting. And thank you for that explanation. Now, readers of InfraLogic might remember an article I wrote in July about a wind proxy hedge risk transfer product that KWH Analytics played a role in shaping to back a 59 megawatt wind farm in Maine called Moscow Wind. And that was really touted at the time as very innovative and first of its kind. And we wrote an article about that. I've wanted to have you or someone from your firm on the podcast ever since that, because I thought that was really interesting and worth going a little bit more in depth into. Can you talk about how that product came about and what made it so innovative?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Andrew. That was very exciting, project. So the wind proxy hedge that we put on for Moscow Wind, this was a Greenbacker project. The circumstance around this project wasn't incredibly unique. I mean, this was a wind asset in Maine with fairly normal distribution. They had some tail risk associated with the asset. So what I mean by that is that their P99 debt sizing constraint was fairly constraining. They were bumping up against that. And so in essence, the sponsor was unable to unlock additional debt value on that asset because of what amounted to what we would call in basic parlance, a low P99. What we did was we looked at the reasons why that tail risk existed. So we call that tail risk. Basically, it's the tail of the curve. We looked at the reasons why it existed. It exists on many wind assets. In this case, it was really wind speed driven. This sponsor had done a good job really mitigating the risk on the availability side. And so it was really wind speed driven. And so there are products in the insurance space. They had never been used in this way before, but there are products in the insurance space that can basically set a floor on that wind speed. So you can have a A-rated counterparty in this case, basically providing a derivative product that offers a floor. You can also write it as insurance, but let's just call it risk transfer. A product that sets a floor on that wind speed. And by setting a floor on that wind speed above the level that the bank would otherwise be sizing debt, we were able to unlock more value. So this was a case where, and I talked about those three sort of key factors that insurance can offer. One of them is, you know, unlocking additional financing or just unlocking value within a financing. We often call it credit enhancement. But in this case, we were able to get about 22% additional indebtedness. And what we did was we all took advantage of an arbitrage opportunity. We reduced the price or the cost of holding that risk. And that was by transferring it to a counterparty that was better suited to hold that risk. In this case, an insurance company. One thing I would mention on products like that, you know, historically, you would look at weather derivatives, other risk transfer products, and they oftentimes, one of the limiting factors was just tenor. How long could you transfer this risk for? And when historically you have 25 to 30 year lived assets in project finance, I think they're even longer now. Putting on a trade for 1 to 3 years doesn't solve much of a financing concern. It might solve some risk transfer, but doesn't really settle a financing concern. That was something that KWH dealt with early on through the solar revenue put and have been able to, you know, utilize in other space like the wind proxy hedge, where we were able to get a much longer lived risk transfer product. This one actually transferred the risk for full 20 years. We've done it for up to about 26 years and can go to the useful life of assets. So that's a big differentiator now, a reason to look into more of these risk transfer products now, because they can go out to the life of the longer lived assets or project financed assets.
So obviously wind deals and the type of transactions around them are nothing new. Why is this type of a hedge just kind of hitting the market now? Is there a greater need for it, or is it just an innovation that hadn't been presented before?
It's a really good question. So there's a couple nuances to the answer. So the first one is that the industry will evolve into a reliable structure. We were mostly targeting lenders, potentially tax equity investors with products that would add value to their financing. And the market will evolve around a structure that will generally protect their investment, right? So that's happened on partnership flips, of course, that's happened on wind assets, and more recently, it's happened on solar assets. So the market sort of converges around debt service coverage ratios they're comfortable with, and other constraints or project measures that allow lenders and tax equity investors to be comfortable with their investment. I think we're getting to the point of maturity where you're starting to see that you end up with a lot of competition around the asset acquisition, and people need to get, or sponsors need to get, more innovative around what they're doing. There's a lot of people who can acquire an asset from a developer and then ultimately bring it to operating. To do that efficiently and to do that in a way that provides acceptable economic return or financial returns to investors has gotten more challenging. Used to be easier, of course, and you don't necessarily pick up all the price from a PPA anymore. You know, there's a lot of merchant considerations in there to creating value out of these projects. Another way to create value out of these projects is financial engineering. So I think it's just sort of part of the maturity of the industry and just looking for ways to wring out additional dollars from, while not charging more to your end use customer. That's where it's coming from today.
So I'm looking at this article from July, I have it in front of me. And at the time you said that this is a very replicable structure. It's highly applicable across the board for wind projects. And you anticipated to see more deals modeled after this one. I know it's only been, it was July, so it's been not even 3 months. But have you seen that starting to happen? Has this become a model for the industry?
Well, Andrew, as you know, InfraLogic has a vast reach, so we did receive a lot of inquiries post that article coming out. So thank you very much for that.
They call it the InfraLogic effect.
Yes, the InfraLogic effect. Thank you for that. We do. We actually got some inquiries from some large sponsors who are looking at utilizing a wind proxy hedge in a little bit different way. So we're actually now looking at a way to deal with some regulatory challenges. One in particular, in PJM, in order to participate in the capacity markets in PJM, it's important that you are available, capacity markets anywhere. But for renewables, that's not as easy as it is for conventional power assets, of course. So making sure that you're going to be available at the times of highest demand or lowest supply are key. If you can tie those high demand points and those low supply points to some data set that is understandable, replicable, like wind speed or a measure of freezing or a measure of high heat, some other condition that insurers can get comfortable with the nature of and the distribution of, then you can provide products that can support these types of regulatory considerations. So we're looking at that. We are looking at a couple of the same form wind proxy hedges that would unlock additional indebtedness. I actually, quick side story. So I got a call from a CFO yesterday, solar, from a large major solar sponsor who is looking at, he wants to solve an anticipated issue. He sees an issue related to his equipment. It is coming. He wants to solve it for the next 20 years. And there's not many people you can call and there's not much that you can do to solve a problem for 20 years. I think that's where we've differentiated ourselves and found a way to sort of build on what was unlocking longer term risk transfer. You know, KWH specifically is excited by challenges like this. Like, we're going to have this equipment issue. How do we deal with it? Can somebody support it for the long term? And do they have a balance sheet? And then do you have the expertise to convince, or I would say put together a product? It's really not convincing because these are smart folks. Put together a product that lenders or tax equity will find acceptable. So we kind of thrive on that brainstorming and innovation around solutions. And, you know, we really look to use our insurance acumen as well as our project finance background to marry the two in a form that the industry can benefit from.
So Jeff, are there any other innovative products? So what's going to be the next InfraLogic breaking news story on an innovative tax structure that KWH is working on? Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, look, in order to innovate, you need data, or at least we need data. There's a couple areas that I think are really interesting and where we're starting to get more data and better analyze and use that data. We're in this area now where battery energy storage is growing massively. The IRA enabled that. And also, there's good use for it on the grid, a lot of use cases. We think that there's a possibility to create more certainty and some products around that. We also, I would say, I mean, if you think about InsurTech and the nature of InsurTech, I mean, InsurTech is sector specific, right? InsurTech is in young industries like renewables where there just isn't readily available data and it sits with small entities. So as we share that data more and as we are able to use and model it, we can just provide more insights and more products will come up. I think the one we've gotten most requests for is probably on the battery side, which will take some time to work through. Right now, we are doing a lot of innovation around the property side of our business. So we started traditional property insurance about 2 years ago. And in the traditional property space, it's generally been just rising rates over the past several years. I think there was 13% annual growth projected through 2030 in the renewable space for insurance premiums, something that we can only solve by better analyzing the risk and mitigating it. We're focused on areas where there's either a broken system or where risk reduction or risk transfer can help enable more projects to be built. We just want more renewables and more projects getting done. Sorry, I can't tell you tomorrow what it's going to be, but there is some interesting data that's being shared now and that we are working to develop products from.
Do you think some of these challenges around property insurance have held back the solar industry at all or held back renewables?
I wouldn't say they've held back renewables. The renewables industry is incredibly resilient, especially solar. I do think that this cost has to be passed on somewhere. And if we're effectively building assets in the wrong place or we're not mitigating these risks appropriately for the perils that these assets might see, then we're doing a bit of a disservice to the industry, right? So I think our goal, and I know the sponsor's goal, is to have long-term operating assets at very high availabilities. The industry is really working to get there. So we're picking appropriate equipment for locations. We're dealing with perils in an appropriate way. So for instance, hail's a big issue for the solar industry. Hail has been a major issue that has really reared its head starting in 2019 with Midway. And I think there's several sponsors who have been really effectively dealing with it. So we've seen some really nice mitigation of hail. It doesn't mean that you absolutely need to change a location, but that's really the most difficult thing to do. What you do is pick the right equipment and implement the right stow protocols. And we've seen that start to really embed within the industry. So I wouldn't say it's held the industry back. You know, solar deals with all kinds of tariff issues and equipment related and other, and solar will be resilient and deal with hail as well. But what we've seen most recently is that there's a clear focus on long-term, stable, strong operations. And this is both to benefit sponsors as well as investors. So I think it's a very resilient industry that is constantly strengthening. So no, not held back in my view.
Well, very interesting, but obviously a very important challenge to solve nonetheless. Well, Jeff, I'm afraid we're out of time, but this has been a great conversation. And thank you again for joining the Crossroads podcast. And if listeners want to learn more about your firm, where should they go?
Yeah, please take a look at kwhanalytics.com. My contact information's up there. And, you know, the note I'd leave with in summary is there are these opportunities out there to use risk transfer, you know, and use the insurance market to your benefit if you're a sponsor today. We're ready to dig in on a challenge if you share it with us.
Well, I'm excited to see what's next from your standpoint. Thank you again, Jeff.
Thanks a lot, Andrew. Appreciate it.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning into Crossroads. If you enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast player and please give us a 5-star rating so that others can find our podcast. Until next time, this has been Crossroads.